their music at times. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 9. I knew I was going to preach on the blood today, or talk about it. And I thought, Lord, I wonder if Audrey will have a hymnal on the blood. And the very first song was a verse in there about the blood. What was the first hymnal we sang? No, the hymnal. Victory. He cleansed me and He washed me in His redeeming blood. And then we sang another hymnal, It Is Well With My Soul. And in that, there's a reason those old timers wrote these hymnals like they did. But in the second verse we sang, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His own blood for my soul. And then there was a message in tongues. And then there was an interpretation. And in that, we were reminded that the Lord has shed His precious blood. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do come to such a sacred, holy topic, Your precious blood. I pray, Lord, You give us understanding, and may we look into Your word that it may speak to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. As a new believer, when I was 18, a few months later I turned 19, I witnessed to everybody I knew. We had a revival in our home church by a man who has gone on to be with the Lord. His name was Bill Stevens. Bill Stevens, even Brother James G., who was president of the Pentecostal Church of God, over 1,200 churches, even he himself said he had never heard a finer, more powerful, anointed preacher than Brother Bill Stevens. He was holding in my church, or where I was attending, at Oakview, California, we were in revival. And I remember I went out and gathered as many people as I could, my friends, to bring them to church. Now, I don't know much of the Bible. I know the Lord. I'm starting to read it. I'm starting to study it. I'm starting to pray. I'm starting to seek God. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's all she wrote. And so I brought about five friends to this revival service. Donnie, can you just touch me down just a bit, please? I'm getting a little ring. And so as I gathered them up, some of them weren't quite ready. And so when I got them, I was so thrilled to bring my five friends to the house of the Lord. Upon entering, one of them was not quite ready, so it caused us to be just a little bit late. As I remember walking in, I can see it as though it was yesterday. The minister was about 6'3". He was a big man. Anybody ever hear Bill Stevens? Well, When we walked in, my friends who didn't have any church experience at all, that to my knowledge, there was the minister. I don't know what happened before I got there, but I do know when I walked in, the Holy Ghost was really moving. And there were about four or five people down on the floor praying and carrying on. And there's, you can hear people praying and seeking the Lord. And you know how it gets excited. And there is the preacher. And he is, he's got his hanky out. And he's waving it as these people are down on the ground. And he's walking in the midst of them. And he is saying these words, "I plead the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood." And my friends who don't know nothing about church looked at me and said, "Is somebody bleeding?" I said, "No." And they got a good dose of old-time religion in that service. I don't know what happened to them, but I know I never forgot those words, the blood. It's the first time I'd ever heard it in that sense. And over the years, I've heard the expression from the old-timers of pleading the blood. Anybody ever hear somebody say, "I plead the blood, I plead the blood"? And my mind always tries to understand things. And I wasn't challenging those that did that. I was just trying to make sense of it. According to Romans chapter 14, when Paul is dealing with two different beliefs, he says, as there is this two different views of God's people believing, Paul says, "Let every man be fully persuaded." I have never been able to preach something, and you wouldn't want it that way, that I couldn't be fully persuaded. And I may know there are differences, but we've got to be fully persuaded. Now, Paul was fully persuaded, but on this subject, I didn't understand it, and I've never quite had the liberty to preach what I want to preach this morning on this subject of the blood. We're going to have a good time today. But the first thing we know, and I just want to talk to you from my heart, something, these subjects we all know. The first thing that happened when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God killed some animals to cover them. Their covering of leaves that they perhaps tried was not going to work. And we have the first shedding of the blood in the garden. Leviticus says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, or the life of the flesh is in the blood. We go to chapter 4. Adam and Eve, we know, are kicked out of the garden. And we come across the story where Cain kills Abel. And the Bible says that his blood cried from the ground. That's very interesting. I mean, that's not a symbolic expression of language. It actually means the blood in the ground was crying out, and it was crying out for vengeance. Now, when you go to Hebrews chapter 12, if you just turn there for a moment, because I'm not going to be very long today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, we find, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." He's making a comparison of the blood that Abel spoke, crying out of the ground for vengeance. And now he is saying that Jesus' blood also cries out But the blood of Jesus doesn't cry out for vengeance. It cries out mercy. Amen. And that was what was symbolized in the Old Testament days when you Bible people, there was the tabernacle in the wilderness. And in that tabernacle in the wilderness, we know there was another building inside it. And past that, first you got into the tabernacle. Then there was another building, and you go through that curtain. And then inside, there was another curtain, and in there was the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies, we call it. And this verse in Hebrews where he says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. When they went into the mercy seat, into the Holy of Holies, they sprinkled blood of bulls and goats. Now, before the priest could even get into that Holy of Holies, he already had to shed blood out there in the courtyard. And we know the high priest went in once a year. It says in Hebrews 9, verse 27. That's the wrong address. Well, verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him. Well, that's a good one too. The one I'm referring to is where it refers to him going in once a year. The result of the high priest doing that, I can tell we're not going anywhere till we find it. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, thank you, as the high priest, yes, entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. It's interesting to me to note that when he went in and he placed the blood on top of the mercy seat, it was not until he placed the blood on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies that then God's manifested glory showed up. But the blood had to be put on the mercy seat first. It was not sufficient that the high priest had faith in the blood for the atoning of the sins of Israel for the past year. He had to use it. He had to apply it. And there is a teaching there that none of us can enter into his holy place or heaven itself without you receiving Christ shed blood for your own soul. And because we receive Jesus as our Savior, we know that his shed blood on the cross is what gives us life. And for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And when Adam sinned, our blood became no good. And we needed someone to die for us. And that was Christ. None of us can enter into this holy place, or we can't get to heaven except by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Bible says, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. That's Hebrews 10, 20 and 22. Don't even go looking there. But when the high priest in the Old Testament went into the holiest of all, he would have been stricken dead had he not offered blood. So he carefully offered nothing but the blood. Now back to this, something that I hope will make sense to us. Back to this thing on why do we plead the blood of Jesus at times in our prayers? When you plead the blood of Jesus, you are confessing to God that we are depending wholly upon His mercy. That's where the blood was placed. Now, I'm not into formulas, but I am into the Bible. And I am into the leading of the Spirit. Do you know that when Jesus, if you'll recall, when He rose from the dead, do you remember that Mary, when she was there, and she was ready to touch Him, and Jesus said, "Touch me not, for I've not yet ascended unto my Father." In the same way, Jesus, after rising from the dead, nothing impure was to touch Him before He ascended to His Father. Just as in the Old Testament, once that priest went and offered blood, he was cleansed, and nothing could touch him when he went into the Holy of Holies, else he be unclean. And in the same way, Jesus, after rising from the dead, nothing impure was to touch him before he ascended to his Father, and there he delivered his blood sacrifice. And there it was sprinkled on the mercy seat before God, and forever sin was settled. Now you say, but what about Thomas? Thomas touched him, but that was after Jesus went and took the blood and put it on the mercy seat next to the throne. We all know it was a bloody cross. The thorns, I want you to see just how bloody it was. From the thorns to his hands where blood flowed to, don't forget the whipping of the cat of nine tails that opened up his back and the blood flowed. And then the blood in his feet. He was covered in blood, and he shed his blood. For the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. As I've mentioned countless, you go through the old hymn book and those old timers, there are so many of the songs that deal with the blood. We sing, "There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin?" In Psalms chapter 22, go ahead and look. Psalms 22, verse 6. There is an interesting passage, and it does tie and connect to the blood. In Psalms 22 and verse 6, we find a prophetic utterance that describes our Savior. And in verse 6, in verse 1, you see Him on the cross. Those prophetic words were, "Jesus, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And now, in verse 6, here is the attitude and the disposition of Jesus on the cross. He said, "But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of man, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn, and they shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, 'He trusted on the Lord.'" All these things happened when Jesus was on the cross. And yet, it's very interesting that the Lord would identify with being a worm. Now we know that when John saw him At the beginning of his ministry, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." We know that Jesus is also identified with the line of Judah. But here our Lord condescends down, said, "I'm a worm." Now, the Hebrew word for this word worm is tola, or toloith, which is interesting because this particular worm that he's referring to was used for its blood. It was a worm that was farmed and harvested for its blood, because the blood of this worm was different than most any other creature's worms. The blood of this worm would not coagulate, and the reason they used it is because it was used for the crimson dye and that this worm produced, and the blood of this worm was used to dye the crimson robes that the priest wore. The reason it was so effective was this blood of this worm, it doesn't fade. Once it's into the garment, it keeps that color as fresh years and years later. Without wanting to read too much into it, how many know the blood never loses its power? It's just as powerful now as it was then. When you follow the blood story through Scripture, there is when they came to Jericho and they were going to destroy the city, and Rahab the harlot, who began to put her faith in the God of Israel, she had heard how they had crossed the Red Sea, and when the spies came, she poured her heart out, saying, and allowed them to come in, and what can I do to be saved? And so when you guys come to destroy our city, how can I be spared? And they said to, out of your house, lay down the scarlet rope, the thread. And that is a type of the blood. Because when they walked around the walls, and then they shouted, it was a miraculous thing that took place when the walls fell in, not landing on the soldiers, but the only place that stood was Rahab's house. And everyone that she gathered into it, again, the blood brought safety. We know that that also happened back when Israel was in bondage and they were to leave Egypt, that God told them to take a lamb. And for 1 week, that lamb was in the house. And then they were to shed the blood of that lamb. One house could perhaps hold 15 people. Even the Egyptians were allowed to come into the house if they believed it. But they took that blood that was in the house, in that basin, and with hyssop they placed it on the door, on the sides, and on the top, but they wouldn't put it on the doorstep. The blood is not something you walk on. But he said, when I send the messenger of death, if he sees, if there is blood, we know that there was safety in the house and there was deliverance. And if not, the firstborn would be killed. And that's why we sing, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And so down through the ages, we have been one that believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is a teaching that is very strong. But I want to get back to, where do we get this pleading the blood? At the beginning of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Great Britain around 1908 and 1909, there were many independent Pentecostal assemblies that sprang up. And in these meetings, there were many evidences of a very spiritual awakening of people coming to Christ. But many, when you study the history of this revival, many of the believers would plead the blood of Jesus in strong repetition. That's all they would do. They would come in, must have been under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, although you can find in the Word to some point, to some degree. We know in Revelation it says they overcame by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. But here these people felt led. They would simply come into church, and all they were told to do is plead the blood, plead the blood. If you have problems in your home, plead the blood. If you feel the enemy is attacking you, plead the blood. Seekers for the baptism. Listen, for people that have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I find this very interesting. Seekers for the baptism in the Spirit at this time were especially helped by doing this. They were instructed to just sit down in a chair, get calm, and then start vocally saying, I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. And they had many hundreds and hundreds receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lester Zummerall tells of casting out demons in a girl. And experience is a great teacher in the spiritual world. But I don't have this experience. But because I have not experienced it, my mother didn't born no dummy. I can learn off someone else's experience. And here's what I have found with people that God has raised up to cast demons out of people. By their own testimony, sometimes when they would get into it's a battle, a prayer. Sometimes it could take hours. But here is what I have read, and I believe by these credible people, that when they were beginning to pray to cast the demons out of the person, they would say, in the name of Jesus. But when they would say, we plead the blood, the devil would rise up in anger. And the devil would say, shut up. Don't talk about the blood. How does the devil know that? He knows there's power there. And out of this experience, Lester Zummerall tells of when they were praying for one girl, and as they were praying, the demon in the girl spoke and cursed the Father, cursed the Son, cursed the Holy Ghost, and then cursed the blood of Jesus, as if the devil knew it had power. In the early days of the Pentecostal revival between 1908 and 1912, there was a book I loaned out, and I haven't gotten it back. But it was an incredible woman that was used by God, Edith Woodworth. She had incredible healings in her meetings back at the turn of the century. She actually, in one of her meetings, predicted the sinking of the Titanic. But in around this time, she, in her great campaigns in Los Angeles and Chicago, here's how she would stand using her service. And she would stand with hands raised, and she would, by faith, pretend she was sprinkling blood on the congregation. The results were that people came rushing forward to the altar. Many fell prostrate and fell before the Lord. And many were healed, and before they reached the front, many were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's hard to argue with great miracles. One of the best places where such experiences were received when this church... Now, here, please understand me. I'm not into formulas, but I am into the leading of the Holy Spirit. And these people were doing this because they felt led of the Holy Spirit to do this. You can take any formula, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit on it, you can just go on and on and on. But when it's led of God, and they were at this time, there, one of the best known places where such experiences were received was in the parish hall. How many have ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? He received his baptism of the Holy Spirit in a church that was promoting this. Revelation 12, verse 9 says there is power in the blood. Peter called it precious blood. I have said all that to say this. If in your prayer life and in your walk with God, there are times when I am up against a problem, and when I pray, I feel a good presence. But there have been times I've been up against problems. It could be from people. It could be, doesn't matter. I feel an opposition. I'm not comfortable when I pray. I don't feel like I'm... How many have ever... At such times, I have learned to plead the blood. And I have received victory. I'm not into formulas, but if you want to call it a formula, my formula is following the leading of the Holy Spirit. I say that because I come to you this morning. If you've had some problems that you just can't seem to get over, and you can't seem to get a good sense that, I've prayed through, you probably are under attack of the enemy. How many know the devil's alive? And I say that this morning, I want to suggest to you, when you pray, plead the blood. Plead the blood. Now, it's not going to do you any good if you're not surrendered to the Lord. That only worked when they got inside the house. You got to get under the blood. You got to put everything under it. But the Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. The devil knows there's power in the blood. We don't just do it because we look back 2,000 years. We must keep the blood fresh. And it must be continually applied in the sense that we are doing battle. And we recognize that by the shedding of blood, there is mercy. If I felt it was a formula, then every prayer I'd had would have been done. But I have felt led at times when I've sensed the devil's in this or something. I've gone to pleading the blood. And I don't get victory right away, but I'll get like a pit bulldog and won't let go and keep pleading it and keep bleeding it until victory comes forth. And it does. So I'm trying to share with you today, if you're here and you've had a problem that you just can't seem to break through, it just may be the enemy has been fighting you. I want to suggest to you to plead the blood. Plead the blood. Would you stand this morning, please? When they dedicated the temple in the Old Testament, there was 12,000 rams and 10,000 bullocks. They said the blood flowed for days to the stream Kidron. And it was a prophetic type of the Old Testament that said that it would open a fountain. And that is the fountain that never stops flowing of His precious blood. And those that, what is the hymnal, that plunge beneath its stain come up cleansed. I know that when my mother-in-law, when we thought we were going to lose her, I remember praying two things. And you want to be led of God. But I remember rebuking death and I remember pleading the blood. I rebuke death and I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to continually hold on to these treasures that are real and to know there's power in the blood. We don't just sing it because it's the theological thing that happened 2,000 years ago. But if you're here today and you've had such a problem you can't break through, I want us very quietly just to come, if those of you that would, and you just sit up on this front here, and we're going to just pray. Believe God. Plead the blood. If there's not enough room here, then come over to this pew. You may just be in a warfare of the devil. And we're no match for him. Bible says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, and then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It don't work if you don't submit to God. You must submit to God. So without a lot of, I felt led of the Holy Spirit to do that this morning. And I want you, you're going to have to help me. I want you, when I come to pray, others come to pray with you and get behind them in front. You got to yourself begin to verbalize it. It may come in a shyness, but I want you to just say, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. And I want you to verbalize it. So go ahead and begin to pray and just, let's just try to follow what I believe God wants us to do. I plead the blood of Jesus. You got to say it. I'll say it with you. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. There's victory. Can I have others to come and stand in front with these as we pray, please, and join with me? There's often the devil will fight. But I want the body to minister to the body. When a hand hurts, the other hand reaches out and does it, even the head reaching out. So can I have the body come and minister to the body? When you hurt your knee, your hands reach down and grab it. Would we just begin to minister to one to another and just, I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil cannot. He don't like the blood. He knows that that's why we're saved. There's deliverance in the blood. There's healing in the blood. There's victory in the blood. There's deliverance in the blood. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. I plead the blood. Father, we plead the blood in Jesus' name. And may victory come forth. We honor you, dear Father. In the name of Jesus, oh Father, we plead your precious blood. It cleanses us. It delivers us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We plead the blood in Jesus' name. I plead it over their home. I plead it over everything in them. I plead the blood, Lord. I rebuke the enemy in anything that he's done. In Jesus' name. Father, we do plead the blood. Join with me in prayer. Lord, I plead the blood. Come on, pray with us, folks. Open your mouths and pray. Let faith come forth. Father, we plead the blood in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Father, you come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus, my Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for healing. We thank you for victory, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Glory to God. Father, we rebuke the enemy. We agree together, the two of us, oh God. If one chase 1,000, two shall chase 10,000. And Lord, Michael the archangel rebuked the devil and said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Lord, I join with my brother in humility, but I rebuke the enemy and plead the blood of Jesus Christ. May the blood be applied to their home. May the blood be applied to their life, to their soul, and to everything within them, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I plead the blood. Let your spirit come, oh God. Let your spirit come, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 But the blood of Jesus. For those that are praying, keep on praying if you like. But if you want to grab the hymnal, glory to God. If you want to sing along, you keep on praying. I don't want to interrupt your praying. 233.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What
No. not automatically flow to you. They must be activated by faith. And the same way with the blood. You activate it with your faith. And it isn't just something that happened 2,000 years ago. I must continually stay in God. And yes, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses me, but my faith got to be active. And so keep your faith active. And that's what we mean when I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray a holy hush would come over us as a congregation. We would recognize the power of the blood. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for these that the enemy has fought. We collectively as a congregation pray one for another, plead the blood over them, pray protection, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Keep praying if you like, but the Lord bless you.